The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Please turn to page 220 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the word of God. Acts chapter 18, to verses 24 to 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. Spring has gone, and so has summer. And now winter is passing by before us. Seasons are not the only things that pass by. The year is also coming to an end. What is really happening is that life is passing by. Infancy, childhood, adolescence, middle age, and old age all pass by without exception. And their passing is not slow. They go at a speed faster than anything in this world. If a person feels like life is going faster than ever before, this means that person is growing old. Age is directly proportional to the speed of life. That is why the older we grow, the more we complain that life has gone by in a flash. David lived to be 70. 3,000 years ago, this was a great blessing in terms of old age. But when his death was near, he confesses in Psalm 39, verse 5, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth." David lamented that his life of 70 years was only a mere handbreadth. A handbreadth is the distance from the end of the thumb to the tip of the middle finger. But David used the Hebrew word tepach, which does not mean a handbreadth, but the palm of the hand. Usually, the palm of a person's hand is shorter than his or her handbreadth. To David, his 70 years were just as short and quick. There are very few people who will say at the end of their life, "My life was a meter or 10 meters long." If you have lived longer than David's 70 years, you might say, "Life is not even a palm's breadth." And instead, put your thumb and finger together, saying, "Life is as short as this." Psalm 39, verse 5 continues, "The span of my years is as nothing before you." David's lifetime of 70 years, the span of his palm, was before God so small it barely existed. Before God, who is eternal, how can we give meaning to time so short? Psalm 39, verse 5 continues, "Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." Even at the height of our lives, it is as if we do not exist, and our actions are meaningless. Psalm 39, verse 6 says, "Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be." Our lives, which are but a palm's breadth, are like phantoms that disappear when the sun shines. But we make a fuss and waste our lives trying to gain things that may become someone else's. And when we become ashes and disappear without a trace, it seems like all is in vain. When we become ashes in the graveyard, there is nothing that seems more in vain than our lives. But even if it was only a palm's breadth, David's life was different. Psalm 39, verse 7 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." David revered the Lord all his life, and even at the moment of death, worshipped God. And he put his hope entirely in the Lord. The reason was very simple. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." To David, Jehovah God always went before him through life's storms and led him to green pastures and quiet waters to lie down by. The shepherd who led him to righteous paths, even in the midst of unrighteousness in this world. So during his lifetime, and even in the dark valley of death, when death drew near, he gave his life to God who is going before you. And as a result, David's 70 years, which were merely a palm's breadth, 3,000 years later today stand as a fortress of eternal truth. And his name lives forever in God's eternal word. In April of last year, in the area of Sunderland in Northeast Britain, a marathon was held with remarkable results. Aside from the first place winner, the entire pool of contestants was disqualified. They amounted to 5,000 people. They all completed the marathon to the end but ended up disqualified. All 5,000 of them. This is the story. The runner in second place, who was far behind the first runner, went off course by mistake. And the runner in third place and everyone behind went off course as well. The second runner finally found the goal, and the runner behind also followed to the goal point. But But even so, the distance they ran off course was 264 meters shorter than the marathon's official 42.195 kilometers. And so everyone was disqualified. The 41.931 kilometers they ran is just a bit short of the distance from Yanghwajin here to Yeongjeongdo in Incheon. Can you imagine how these 5,000 runners felt when, after running so far, they were disqualified because they went off course and ended up 264 meters short? Among them, only Jake Harrison ran the official route and earned first place. And this was because he followed the flags and lead cars to the correct path. Everyone in this world follows the people who go before us. Those who want power follow the powerful. Those who want money follow the rich. Those who want to be scholars follow scholars. And those who want to become stars follow the stars ahead. In each field, the top leader is followed by an immense amount of people. But no matter how hard we follow the person in front, if we are all headed for a graveyard, wouldn't that all be in vain? Even if our lives are only a palm's breadth, we work hard at our lives. So if we veer off the course of eternal life and end up a handful of dust in the graveyard, wouldn't that be sad? This year, our church's motto is from Deuteronomy 1, verse 30, God who is going before you. God who transcends time and space is always the God who goes before us. The God who is going before you is the God who always exists before and after eternity. The God who is going before you is the all-powerful God who created the world. And the God who is going before you is the God of truth and righteousness. He is the God of love who sent His only Son to this earth for us, even before we knew Him. So only when we follow the God who goes before us can we find, in our lives that are only a palm's breadth, eternal and absolute meaning. Only when we follow the God who goes before us will we be on the righteous path. That is, the course we must run as Christians who have been saved, and not go off the correct course. If we follow the God who goes before us, and only then, the moment our breath leaves us forever, we will not be disqualified, but leap over the graveyard to eternal life. Now at the end of this year, let us look behind us. What do you see? Have you spent the last year following people in front of you? Or have you spent the year following God who is going before you? If you have followed God who is going before you, you will be tying up the end of the year with thankfulness and joy in your heart. Even if you have struggled through the wilderness of the life during the past year, this was the course you had to take because God who goes before you prepared it. And you know that the wilderness of life is the correct path to the promised land of Canaan. As we saw last time, Apollos, who traveled from Alexandria to Ephesus, was an enthusiastic bearer of the word of Christ. But what he knew was limited to the baptism of John or the early years of Jesus' public life. Priscilla and Aquila found this out and invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. The Greek verb proslambano, which translates to receive, is used when receiving someone to one's home. Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos to their home and served him food and taught him in detail what he did not know about the teachings of Jesus and the agony of the cross and resurrection. Because Priscilla and Aquila had such hearts, we know that they did not stop at giving him the gospel once, but helped him again and again. And thanks to them, thanks to Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos was able to become a correct witness of the gospel. Once Apollos, who was such a fervent speaker of the gospel, knew the correct gospel, he did not stay long in Ephesus. Verse 27 says, "When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed." Apollos wanted to go to Achaia. Ephesus, where Apollos was located, was on the Asian continent. But Achaia was across the Aegean Sea in Europe in the Achaia area of Corinth. The Bible doesn't tell us why Apollos wanted to go far across the ocean to Corinth. But among the copies of the New Testament Bible, the Codex Bezae, written in approximately 5th century AD, gives us verse 27 as follows. "Now certain Corinthians were sojourning in Ephesus, and having heard him, they exhorted him to cross with them into their own country. And when he consented, the Ephesians wrote to the disciples in Corinth that they should receive the man." And when he sojourned in Achaia, he helped them much in the churches. The Codex Bezae is much more detailed than the Bible verse 27 because the Codex Bezae was written with transmission passed down from the early church. So the Codex Bezae gives the final evidence we need to figure out why Apollos wanted to leave the Asian continent and cross the sea to Corinth. Among the Christians of Corinth who visited Ephesus, there were those who listened to Apollos' sermon and were impressed. They were greatly impressed and asked Apollos to come with them to Corinth and look after the Christians there. When Apollos accepted their invitation, the Christians of Ephesus sent the Christians of Corinth a letter asking them to welcome him. So Apollos went to Corinth and settled there, and gave great spiritual help to the Christians there. Verse 28 tells us how he gave spiritual help to the Christians of Corinth. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Corinth also had Jews who denied Christ. As we know, in verse 24 tells us, Apollos was very well versed in the Old Testament, which the Jews kept sacred. Also, Apollos had received the correct gospel from Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. So he quoted the Old Testament and clearly and logically showed that Jesus was the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament and was able to publicly suppress the Jews who were denying Christ. In that way, Apollos was a great help to Christians in Corinth. Paul was the first person to spread the gospel in Corinth 2,000 years ago when Corinth did not know the gospel. When Paul first came to Corinth alone during his second gospel journey, he stayed there a year and a half to spread the gospel to people there. During that time, the couple who received the gospel from Paul and gave Paul food and lodging and became his co-workers were Priscilla and Aquila. When Paul decided that the Church of Corinth was strong enough to be independent and wanted to end his second gospel journey and go back to his base in Antioch of Syria, Priscilla and Aquila left everything behind and followed him. And after that, Paul was only able to revisit Corinth after many years passed. So the Corinth church was missing a leader after Paul and Priscilla and Aquila left. The person God prepared for Corinth's church was none other than Apollos in the scripture. If Priscilla and Aquila had not followed Paul, who was returning from Corinth to his home base in Antioch in Syria, if Paul had not sought out the church in Ephesus and spread the gospel while their ship was briefly in Ephesus, and if Priscilla and Aquila had refused Paul's request and continued to travel with Paul to Antioch in Syria, if all of these things happened, there would have been no Apollos to nurture the members of Corinth's church by the time Paul came back to Corinth. Then let us think of Priscilla and Aquila's side of things. When Paul asked them to stay all of a sudden during their stop at Ephesus, How ridiculous they must have felt when they had given up their business in Corinth to accompany Paul to Antioch in Syria. Paul's sudden decision was not an easy one to consider. Paul was leaving Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus and had not given them a single penny. To settle and find a living in a strange land that they had not prepared themselves for would not have been an easy job. But it was in Ephesus that Priscilla and Aquila met Apollos. And in that way, Apollos became the spiritual leader of the Corinth church across the ocean. God, who knew the Corinth church very well, used Priscilla and Aquila as tools for the Corinth church and demonstrated to us his amazing providence. This was possible because he is God who transcends time and space to be God who is going before us. Later on, when Priscilla and Aquila realized his amazing providence, they must have been moved and thankful that he was using them to carry out his amazing will. Facing God's amazing providence, they would have been filled with joy that God had prepared their hard life in Ephesus as a stepping stone for even greater and more beautiful glory ahead. And they would have been even more thankful to God, who is going before us, and they would have given their lives to Him even more. Today is the fourth week of Advent, with 4 days left until the Lord's Christmas, and the end of the year with only 10 days to go. Like Priscilla and Aquila, who were left in strange Ephesus and had to fight all sorts of obstacles and survive and settle in a new land, have you spent the last year facing unexpected twists and turns in life, filled with tears every day? But do not despair. The God we believe in is the God who is going before you, who transcends time and space. The God who is going before you, even before we knew Him, sent His only Son to this earth for us and gave us salvation by having His only Son suffer for our sins on the cross. During the last year, God went before us and led us through the correct course we needed to travel. God, who is going before us again this year, came into our lives to carry out His amazing providence. What this providence is, we will know and understand in the future as we carry out our lives, like Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible. And whatever we have gone through the past year, On this fourth week of Advent that celebrates our Lord's birth, and at the end of this year, our job is to give ourselves in thanks to God, who is going before us again. Like Paul's confession, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In God who is going before us, there is no suffering or pain that does not end in glory. So even in the midst of our tears, we can receive the new year with thankfulness. And even in the midst of suffering, we can celebrate our Lord's birth. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Even if we were not able to see you, even if we could not hear you, even if we could not touch you, we give thanks that you were God who is going before us this past year. We realize that this difficult and weary road was the correct course God who is going before us prepared. And we give thanks. In this past year again, God who is going before us was the leader of my life. So we believe that the hard and thorny seat we are sitting on right now is the best of all seats you have prepared for us. And we give thanks. Because my God is the God who is going before me, even if the road I take seems to wander, we know it is the shortcut to the promised land and give thanks. Lord, who came to this earth for us even before we knew you, let us give our hearts in joy to celebrate your birth and in thanks to God who is going before us, finish the year and welcome the new year. So even if our lives are but a palm's breadth, in God who goes before us, let our days be like Priscilla and Aquila's days and live on with eternal meaning, transcending time and space through this day and age. In our lives every day, let your amazing providence for this era be carried out again and again. In your name we pray. Amen.